particular type of
straw. I'm not sure what this is actually.
Oh, this is Huntsman. Because it's hollow stemmed. And then you get Quilla, which is not hollow stemmed, it's all sappy. And then there's Morris Widger. So there's three varieties you keep, but most people use Huntsman. Mm. Huntsman and Quilla.
It's the older varieties that you use really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the new varieties, they only grow for the corn, so they're very short. Well, we need the length to make it last long on the reef.
So what kind of length are these?
Oh, I don't know. 3 foot long. Something like that, 3 foot as well.
Which is quite a good length, actually. Not bad reef at all. Mm-hmm.
And who's growing this wheat for you?
Well, we grow some of ourselves, and then the farmers around the area, like Taunton, Curry Rival, Stoke St Gregory, around that area. And they grow about 25, 30 acres. Do it out in them. Well, something for them to do in the winter, when there's not much to do on the farm. And they generally grow that and thrash it out, something for the men today. A bit more income for them.
So how much do you grow yourselves?
About 35 acres. Because we've got to do them between thatching, so that's about 4 or 5 weeks' work. Time you cut it, stitch it, and haul it. And then you got to leave it in rick.
That's all done the old-fashioned way as well, with binder. It's all got to be thrashed out with the old combing machine. So it's all kept very much to the olden days. It's very normal craft.
Do you, you obviously get it, cut it in when it's ripe,
yeah,
in August or September?
Generally, end of July. It's all according how dry it is, because some of it the die off give out if it's stony ground, and then you've got to cut it then.
What's as early as that is?
That's right, because you aren't going to let it grow over too far. It's got between green and yellow.
Mm.
It's got to be like a half colour of each. So the heads are just turning over, so you can cut it. You aren't going to have it like the combines today, where it's got to be really ripe for them to cut it. You've got to have a little bit green.
So will it ripen up then once you've stitched it?
That's right, you let it by stitch for about a fortnight, and then you put it in ricks, and you want to leave it in a rick for about 6 weeks for it to sweat out, and then gradually ripen up in the rick, and then you can thrash it out there. Because if you do it too, if you've done it further still, it'll sweat and go all feisty. So you've got to let it sweat out a bit.
Because this is lovely and dry, isn't it?
Mm. That's right. Well, it's better done about October time, really. So it's all ripened up then. And it's better through the ricks. The wind can blow through it all four ways. We're in a barn, it's packed up against Gorvan ice, and it can't sweat out too well. So we like to put it in ricks.
So you've got ricks then down in Compton?
That's right, yeah. Generally have about 4 and thrash out till about September time, and leave the others till about April. End of April, beginning of May.
So in the space of a year then, you've got about, you're using then about 70 acres?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I suppose so.
She thinks so, yeah.
So apart from the time when you cut and you thrash, are you thatching the rest of the year?
Yeah. Even in between harvesting, really, sometimes. You know, if the corn's got still ripening or whatever, you're still carrying on thatching. It's the winter that's the worst time, really. It's so cold, bitter, nothing worse. and of course, the reeds always got to be watered, because it helps you work on the roof with that. It's a lot, you know. Otherwise, as you can imagine, straw is very slippery. And if you laid a wad of straw on the roof, it'd just slip off again.
Oh, so in fact you wet it down, you damp it down?
Yeah, we use a tub to dip them in before we use them.
But you keep going in all weathers, or is there any certain times and you can't keep going?
Well, unless it's really really bad, you know. I mean, a lot of rain.
Yeah,
and
wind,
we try to keep going.
Wind is not so bad.
Yeah,
rain
is,
yeah. Because it, when you've got to put it on, it blows everywhere.
Yes, because, I mean, you take the number of what do you call them? Do you call them bungles or...?
Bungles.
You take a number up, don't you?
Mm.
And you... I notice that you sort of divide them.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You don't use a whole bundle at once, do you?
No, we divide them into about five or six, which were cord wads, and you know, put them on individually. So you haven't got too much to handle at one time.
And it's only just pegged in then?
Yeah.
Those are not, it's not tied in any way?
Not with an old roof, no. On a new roof, it's a completely different thing altogether, really. It's, we either call it sewing, which is, we've got a long thing we call a needle, which is basically a needle. And we put a needle in with a piece of string on it, around the battens or rafters inside, and pull it out the other side, and then pull it tight with a willow, a long stick of willow, or what they use nowadays mainly is steel, a very thin piece of steel going through the roof, and that's that. You know, if you do it up tight, that'll keep it on the roof, nice and tight down those timbers. And there's another idea of crooking, which is like 8-inch nails with a hook on the end, and that's the other way you'd hit those into the rafters with the same steel or willow going through the roof, and that will keep it on as well.
What happens to the, I mean, obviously when you're saying it's got a crook, it's got a hook,
yeah,
type shape, where does that come?
Well, if there was a piece of steel going through your roof like that, your hook would go on over the steel or willow, whatever it would be, and into the rafter underneath, and thus making it all tight, you know, because you, I mean, at the end you just can't budge it with anything, it's so tight.